Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
I've noticed those hairs are not growing back on your chin yet.
No.
You think they're not going to?
No, they will.
Okay. How long is that going to take? Let me see. Turn your head a little bit.
It's got to heal up first. Okay. It's still a sore.
Oh, so that's awful, man.
So if you're wondering what Dave's talking about, I was growing a beard.
Then
it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. I don't know what came first. I had like a small, tiny sore develop on my chin. And I thought...
It looked like herpes. I'm just saying.
I thought, man, I just need to pluck the hair that's in the center. Like, I thought it was like an infected hair.
Yeah.
And so I plucked a hair or two.
I get them on my neck.
Yeah.
They're awful.
And so I plucked a beard hair or two. And then, like, I don't know if it's a compulsory thing or an anxiety thing or what, but I never could stop plucking. And
it's
I ended up...
I plucked a
fucking dime size bald spot in my beard. And so then I'm like, oh, I got to shave this thing now. So
you looked good with the beard too.
It looked all right.
Yeah, it looked good.
It wasn't bad.
Trimmed up. It was tight.
But every time I've tried to grow a beard, I always get a sore on my chin.
Yeah. And it's, ingrown hairs are a real,
yeah,
they're a real thing.
So
maybe they're curling up in there. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is what it is. Great event this weekend, buddy.
Yeah, we had a badass weekend. We had our Tradewinds event here in town.
It was awesome.
And had about 60 to 70 people here. Had some big name people here. You know, guys like, you know, Tony G, Jared Williams, Roger Wakefield. Like,
you know,
had some badass people.
You know who I was most impressed with was Chris Zizzo.
Yeah.
That dude is a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
And he's really smart and doesn't come off as condescending or anything. He's down to earth.
Very humble.
He's a cool dude.
So a quick story about him. So he's wildly successful. Okay. He's got a couple of businesses. He's a IBBF pro bodybuilder. He's got sponsors in the pro bodybuilding thing. He has a telehealth company. He's got a marketing company. He's got a content company. He's got a business strategy solutions company. Like, very wealthy guy, right?
He's a badass.
It's about a year and a half ago. He has like a Toyota Camry or something, and his car dies. And he's like, well, I need to get a new car. And he's like looking at Camrys again, like used Camrys. And I don't know who said it. I can only think Keith Gauze probably told him this.
Keith.
And they're like, dude, what does driving a Camry make you feel like? And he's like, well, I don't know. It works.
Yeah.
And they were like, drive, like, look at something nice. Drive something that says, I've earned this, right?
Yeah.
And so he gets a pretty badass Porsche instead of a Camry.
That's a pretty good upgrade.
And I have no doubt he probably paid cash for it.
Oh, like, of course.
But and then like 2 weeks later, he made a post about it. He doesn't brag about his shit, but he made a post about it, and he was like, it was basically a long form post of like the lesson that came from it. He received this advice. He went ahead and bought the Porsche, and now he's driven it for 2 weeks, and he's like, yeah. This makes me work harder. It makes me feel like I'm worth more to my clients. My clients probably respect me more because this guy they're giving gobs of money to isn't driving a Camry.
Yeah.
You know?
Self-perspective is a powerful tool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy that he didn't realize that till later. You know, for his, because he's super smart.
Dude.
You know, super on top of everything.
And
then
the guy
just, that shit just is on the wayside. He doesn't even care. He's like, oh, fuck it.
The guy moves through life so fast. He's got so many cool experiences.
Yeah.
He was a Mexican cowboy.
Are you serious?
He was a bullfighter.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't hear any of that.
He was a I want to say he was like a professional snowboarder, like X Games, cool. X Games type shit.
Well, we could enter X Games. We'd crash and burn and not win anything, but we could say, yeah, it's on my resume.
Yeah. Like he's done a lot of really cool shit. So, awesome. But yeah, he's insanely humble. Really, just really, really cool.
Yeah,
dude.
He was cool. You know, Roger Wakefield was really cool. Like I thought he would be one of those guys that's like, he comes in, he does his spiel and then like retires to his room or whatever.
Yeah.
The night of the event, he gave two different speeches, basically just to our guys.
Yeah.
In TW with a handful of other ones at the bar, at the bar. Hotel.
The event was over 3 hours ago. Yeah. We had gone to dinner. We had come back and we're just socializing at the bar. And next thing you know, you look over.
Yeah.
And there's a crowd of 40 people gathered around Wakefield.
He said, hey, okay, let's go over here and sit over here on the couch and I'll tell you how I did this.
Yeah.
And there's like all these grown men looking like little kids just watching them. Like I didn't
it was
even
like
go
storybook
over there.
Time in kindergarten. Yeah.
I didn't even go over there. I was like, nope. We'll just let them have it. And then I talked to Tristan today.
Yep.
Okay. And he said, we were just kind of talking about the event. And if people that don't know, Tristan's a Tradewinds member. We didn't allow him. We offered for Tradewinds guys to speak. He spoke. He was great. It was awesome. Super proud of the guy. We were just talking about the experience and stuff. And he brought up Roger and was like, you know, I met him one time at a wet show.
Yep.
And like all these people kept coming up to him and he's, you know, doing the deal and doing the celebrity thing. But you could tell that like he didn't necessarily want to be there. Like he felt like it was more of a, he's been paid, he's here, you know, that kind of deal. He's like, man, but the other night he was like just one of the guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's because everyone, they're all plumbers. It's like, what, we're all going to grow out of being a plumber if we really want success or whatever and move on to other things. But your roots are still drawn to that.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was asking me, how did you get him there? And this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, to be honest, I think he wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And then like giving all those extra talks, like kind of confirmed that for me. I think he really just wants the blue collar industry to be stronger and share some of his knowledge base. And it was really cool to watch.
Well, he is an educator at heart.
Yeah.
And he and I share that similarity. I'm an educator at heart as well.
Yeah. Agreed.
And when you're an educator at heart, it's wild. Like you'll invest a massive amounts of time, effort, and energy to educate for no money or negative money.
It's because it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You feel like you're in your element and you're in your zone. You know? So it doesn't seem like work. It just seems like you're just hanging with the guys.
Yeah. It's no different than the public school system. You don't go work at the public school system to get rich. You go work there because it's your passion to teach people.
Yeah.
You know,
to take care of the next gen.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you're right. Like you go to these big formal things and he's going to talk and everything else. And he's going to probably be a little shorter with people there. But this like he and I had a lot of phone conversations beforehand. I met him down in Texas for the first time last year, by accident. He wasn't even supposed to be in the room I was in. And it was the last time I was in that room, ironically. He came to an Apex event and it was my last Apex event and I pulled him out and talked to him and everything else. And I guess it wasn't my last, it was my second to last, because my last one I flew to.
Gotcha.
But, I pulled him out in the hallway and we chit chatted it up and I brought our little go-kart down there and I said, you want to see our cool cool little go-kart? And he's like, hell yeah. And so we go outside and sit in the go-kart and everything else. And he kind of looks at me through his like side eye and he's like, I know you want me to sit in it, but I can't. And I'm like, you're fine. And he goes, well, I just, my sponsors and everything, like I can't be caught endorsing another plumbing company.
Yeah.
And so I can't sit in it and then have anybody take a photo of me in it, because then it would be like me endorsing your company. And I'm like, totally get it. You're totally good.
Yeah.
But when we decided to make this event about content, the first person I wanted to call was Nick Staton, because he's built his entire, like he's been in business for 3 or 4 years and never spent a dime on advertising.
Yeah.
He does it all through social media content. And then one of the other people I wanted to reach out to was Roger Wakefield.
Yeah.
So ironically, I also called, if you're a plumber listening to the show, you know who I'm talking about. His name is Matt Benavides. And he is, the Boston Plumbing Monster is his little online persona. And he's like half comedian, all plumber, and 100% badass. And he puts tons of shit out there on social media, but they're not videos more for customers. They're more videos to help inspire people to get into the trades and everything else.
Yeah.
But the guy still knows a whole lot about how to gain a following, how to build a following, and how to take care of your following and everything. I called him up because he and I chit-chat quite a bit. And I called him up and offered the thing to him. And he said, unfortunately, I'm busy that weekend. And he wouldn't tell me what he was doing. He just said, I'm already busy that weekend. Otherwise, I would.
There was a bunch of shows this weekend.
No.
No, I'm saying there were.
Like Thursday night, he posts a picture. So there's like 2 days before the event.
Oh, you told me about
this. Post a picture, him and his family all in swimsuits down on the beach in Mexico. Yeah. And it's cold here and everything.
Yeah.
And here he is all partying it up in the Mexico. And I'm like, yeah, you're damn right. You had better plans to do.
Oh, go to Kansas City with the cows and the cowpoke. No, you go to Mexico and enjoy the warm weather.
Yeah, with your family and enjoy it.
Oh, God.
But we had a really good event. We keep getting better at these, and notably better. It kind of makes you a little intimidated because our next event's going to come up in like late July, August.
Dude, I was thinking this today. I was literally sitting there after talking to Tristan because I've been the guys have a real sense of momentum now, which they should, you know. And so they want to chit chat, and when you talk to them, you know, those conversations go on for hours, which I'm fine with. But then after that, I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, how are we going to top that?
Right.
Like Jared Williams came just to be there.
Yeah. Jared Williams bought a ticket and he drove from Florida. He drove his transit camper van from Florida.
Tony G and his business partner were there just to be there.
Yeah.
Roger Wakefield spoke.
Yeah. And Roger Wakefield is being resistant on us paying him. I keep messaging him, like, send me your stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, if I get around to it.
I mean,
and I'm like, dude.
there's some serious pressure coming. Like, I could feel it.
Yeah.
Like, in the next couple of months when I start putting the next one together.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've already emailed, you know, our next contact, but it's like, man, who are we going to get? You know, actually, now that I think about it, the pressure's really on you.
Yeah.
I put the event together. You get the speakers.
Yeah.
And then we kind of organize it together.
Yeah. You do the back end. I do the front end. And it's arguably which one's more difficult. They probably are each more difficult in their own right.
They just have their own bullshit problems you got to deal with.
Yeah.
One's tedious and one's just it's hard to get people to commit to do those things.
Yeah.
Like who?
If you're listening to this show, feel free to shoot David or I a message. And let us know who you'd want to see. I'd love to see who people want to see, you know?
And
to some degree, it doesn't necessarily have to be people in the trades. For instance, Tony Robbins could come speak at one of our events and everybody would get massive amounts of value out of it. Now, we can't afford Tony Robbins.
I was going to say, don't get your panties too tight.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is like there are people out there that can have a massive positive impact on the event and they're not a trades based because like eventually you're going to run out of trades people.
Yeah.
You know? Like we'll still get Matt to come out to one of these at some point. We'll still get some other guys to come out to these. Like that's cool. But, anybody else you'd like to hear from speak, several ways to contact us. You can email Mitch@MitchSmedley.com. You can email David@TradeWindsConsulting.com. You can email Mitch@TradeWindsConsulting.com, or you can find us on Facebook. I am Mitch Smedley with the blue check.
Fine, Mitch. I don't want to talk to you.
And then,
I'm just kidding.
David is David Hilton. David might be a little harder to find just because my following's bigger and sometimes those search results, are following based.
Oh,
and so,
yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
If you want to find both of us, find me first and then you'll find Dave.
Yeah.
So
don't stalk me. I know I'm beautiful, but come on.
Well,
hey, no one's asking
they
you.
They just want a piece of that sweet ass.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
So,
yeah, I don't know. What would be cool? And I know we could never afford it, but Mike Rowe would be cool.
Mike Rowe would be cool. So I've actually reached out to him. I've been unsuccessful, but I have reached out to him a little bit because that's on my vision board is to do a project with Mike Rowe at some time, like with him, right?
Yeah.
Not like I've seen him speak on stage. I've done all that.
Guys haven't. It'd be cool for them.
Yeah. I've seen him speak on stage and I've done all that, right? Not to fan out and see him speak. Like I want to do a project with him, collaborate with him.
Yeah,
right.
It'd be cool.
And this weekend was a really big milestone. You know, they say that competition happens at the bottom and collaboration happens at the top. Well, like Jared Williams, he has a plumbing coaching program like we do in TradeWinds. His is plumbing specific. Tradewinds is all trades.
Yeah.
But we invited Jared, like Jared Williams asked if he could come. And I said, sure. He drove all the way from Florida. We chit-chatted it up. And technically, we're competitors. Yeah. But like we both understand that he does things one way, we do things another. Clients are going to go where they feel most comfortable. There's no point in having friction or beef or viewing each other's competition. Like we genuinely had a badass time. And then he messaged me yesterday.
This is like, part of it.
Following up and everything else. He's based out of Florida now. He sold his company in Alaska. And now he's based out of Florida. Like, talk about polar opposites.
Yeah.
Well, from Alaska to Florida.
Dude, if I lived in Alaska, I'd go to Florida too.
Yeah.
It's cold, man.
And so he's starting a whole pressure washing company down there.
And, oh, that's why he was there.
And he's trying to make it, I think he's trying to make it a video thing. I'm not positive on this, but it's kind of, I think he's trying to put together some kind of a video thing where it's like, watch me build a pressure washing business from the ground up.
Oh, and then like make it a 12 episode thing kinda, on YouTube or something like that.
Yeah, kind of do something like that with it. But his company's called Dude Wash and his ads are fucking hilarious. Most of them he can't even post. Like he comes up with some of the most off color ads ever. Like, we'll get your wife wet, call Dude Wash. Like shit like that, you know, and he'll share them privately.
Nick's the same way.
Yes.
Like he puts some stuff out there and you're like, okay, but it works and it's good. Like full transparency. If I owned a commercial property and I was like, man, this thing has got to get washed.
Yeah.
I'd totally hire him.
Yeah.
Like that stuff doesn't bother me.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and usually gritty, people that own businesses like that, that's who
they love it.
They would rather call that person.
Right.
You know,
they don't want to call the person that's politically correct.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, look at this guy rolling in. He's says he's a power washer. He's wearing a suit and a tie and he's going to put a bid together for me. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like I want Nick there.
Give me
the
bearded guy.
Yeah. I want the bearded guy who talks a little shit and laughs.
Probably got bubble gum stuck to his shoe from the other parking lot that he just washed.
Yeah. That's who I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's who I want.
Yeah. And so he was messaging me yesterday saying, you know, great event. Thanks for having me. You didn't have to, like, I knew you could have said, don't come, but you did, you let me. And it was awesome. I got tons of value from it.
Yeah.
And he was giving our group tons of accolades. He's like, you guys have an amazingly strong group. Those guys are awesome. Like dude, the culture in our group is amazing.
Dude, the guys in our group would kill for each other if they had to.
And so then he's like, I'm almost wrapped up building my podcast studio down here in Florida. And I have a rule, in-person guests only. And if you ever want to come be a guest on the podcast, let me know.
Guest.
And I'm like, don't tempt me with a good time.
Dude, can I go?
Yeah.
Let's do it. That'd be great.
We'll go down there and see Keith too, because he's in Florida.
I do love me some Keith.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude too.
Have him take us out on his boat. So he's on the intercoastal. So
not a lot of people worry me when they're taking me out. Like, no, I don't mean on the boat, but like, hey, we're going to go out tonight and party.
Oh, yeah. Keith.
Keith's one of those guys that you're like, I better not drink too much because I may end up in Tijuana.
Or you might end up with a face tat and a tiger in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a baby you can't explain where it came
that's
from.
That's why I like Keith so much because he's a wild card.
Yeah.
And he's super brilliant, super down to earth, and is a wild card.
Yeah.
That's why I like spending time with him. He's a trip, man. He's
really
a
cool
fucking
dude.
Trip. Yeah.
But keeping up with the theme of the wild and crazy stories from Mitch, did I tell you what happened at the bar Friday night before the event?
Before the event? Friday night?
Yep.
Friday. Wait. Let me get my bearings here.
So we got there Friday afternoon to set up.
Yeah, we got all set up and then everyone was having drinks and just hanging out and stuff. Yeah,
socializing, hanging out at the bar.
Dude, that bar was packed.
Yeah. And this time we got rooms. The last time we had an event, so we live about 45 minutes from the airport.
We learned our lesson last time.
Yeah. Last time we didn't get our own rooms at the hotel. And so we had to like drive all the way home and then drive all the way back the next day. Yeah, and it was like,
couldn't drink with the guys, couldn't spend extra time with them. It was
right. It
was too much work. So this time we got rooms.
It handicapped us a little bit. And so this time we got rooms so we could stay and enjoy and deliver even more value. And so I stayed up with the guys chit-chatting at the bar.
We're talking Friday night.
Friday night.
So
before the event.
I didn't go to bed till like 12:30.
Yeah, most of the guys were dipping out around 12:30. Yeah. And then me and three.
There was a handful left Friday.
Me and three other guys stayed out until about 1:45.
Dude, I still had to finalize my speech.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta go to the room.
And so 1:45, I go to the bar to tab out, and the other guys are taking off to the room. And there's a girl at the bar and she's ordering another glass of wine. And I'm like,
By herself or with her husband?
Just by herself.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I'll take a glass of wine too. Like, that actually sounds good. I've been drinking hard liquor all night long. Like, I'll have a glass of wine and I'll go to bed.
If I'm with a bunch of people, so you may not, on Saturday night we had dinner, I drank wine.
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, I got to keep my head straight here. I can't be a jackass.
And so I mentioned, like, she was getting the wine or whatever, and I don't know wine very well, so I just usually I'm like, I'll have what they're having kind of thing.
Just house, whatever your house is.
Yeah, and so I told the bartender, I'm like, I'll have whatever she's having. And she looks over at me, and she's like, I'll fuck you. And that was about my reaction.
How old is this broad?
She's in her 50s. So...
Do you know because you asked afterwards?
Maybe later 40s. Okay. If she's early,
you're 43. So
yeah, if she's early 40s, she's
rough.
She just looks a little older.
And if she's 50, she looks good.
She looked good for her age, okay, for sure. But I'm like,
blah, 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 blah,
what? You know? And she's like, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
She said, I've been watching you all night. I'd fuck you. And I'm like, I look at the bartender and I look back at her, and the bartender's like,
dude, that same
gives
bartender,
me that look of like, go for it.
That same bartender was there both nights.
I know.
And you could tell the second night he was like, you guys are.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Everybody's having a good time.
And so I hold my hand up and I'm like, ma'am, I'm married. And she goes, so am I. And I'm like, oh my, this is not getting better. So then her son comes in. Her son's probably 13, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in that age. Her son comes and is like dragging her out of the bar. And when he gets her to stand up, now you can see really how drunk she is.
She's pretty fucked up.
And you can tell her son has, like, this ain't the first time he's had to drag her out of a bar.
Oh,
and she's being all resistant. I'm talking to people and I'll be up to the room when I'm ready and all this. And her son's like, mom, we have a funeral to go to tomorrow. Like, you need to go to bed. And I'm like, oh my God, what a train wreck.
She was trying to get rid of her pain.
I don't know.
From the funeral.
Yeah.
Oh my, I have no God.
Clue. But
that is, dude, I don't understand what it is about you. You're just a magnet for weird shit.
Weird shit.
I don't get it. Is it your face?
I don't know.
Is it your eyes?
I don't know.
Is it the universe?
Couldn't tell you.
You have got no clue?
I mean,
just walking.
Remember
through
that old
life?
Movie Ted TV where they just followed a guy around in real life and made a show about it?
Yeah.
Like, they could absolutely do that with me. And
dude, they could do it with you and make $1 billion.
They'd be really interested.
Dude, 1 year, they'd have 37 episodes.
Yeah.
It's crazy
what
happens to you. I don't understand it.
So
maybe it's just because you put yourself out there. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, all I did was just say, I'll have what she's having before you close up. Before
true.
You close
like
up my tab, put one of those on it.
Yeah. It's not like,
it's not like I'm like, hey, come here often.
Dude, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
oh man, it was, I will say this. It was every time we do one, they get better.
Yeah.
Is this our fourth?
Fourth.
Every time we do them, they get better. And it was very humbling to have all of those people fly in from all of the over the country, and then the room starts filling up, and you're like, oh shit. And then you're like, oh man, look at all these big names. And then you're like, oh, look at our guys. And then they're getting all this information. You're like,
yep.
It's just, it's a weird feeling.
I
can't believe this is where we're at right now.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's crazy to me.
And the purpose of the event was like how to use content to grow your business and how to use social media to grow your business.
Yeah, digital content.
I'll step on my own toes because, you know, I don't want to ruin what anybody else talked about. If you weren't at the event, you should have been there. But
yeah,
I set mine for the morning, the morning event for me to talk.
It was good.
And the part of the reason why was because I wanted to, there was a certain setup that I wanted to do to get everybody's eyes open to the power of social media. There's 70 people in this room. And I asked the room I opened my speech with one quick question. I said, how many people in this room knew me 3 years ago?
I raised my hand.
And yeah, you and your family and my family are the only ones that raised their hand.
I think you're right.
Right?
Yeah, I think you're
right. And maybe they got onto the podcast 3.1 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? But still,
the point stands.
The point was, this entire room is full of people because of social media.
Yeah.
None of you people knew who David and I were 3 years ago. But because we used social media, and that is Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, podcasts, Spotify, Apple, all of those things, because we use those social media platforms, we now have a room full of people that are all going to learn and get better.
Yeah.
And we now have some of the biggest names in the industry in the room.
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
At what? It's crazy if it was been like, oh, you had this guy come, and then the next time you had this guy. It was all at one whack.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah. And Tony G joined TradeWinds. So his business, right?
Yeah.
Technically, it's under his business partner's name, but.
Robert. Yeah. Mr. So, Salesman.
Yep. Robert. We'll see. Robert Conley.
We'll see.
So who has a lot of roots back to KC? Mm-hmm. Steve Conley, Conley Plumbing Solutions.
Yeah.
He's related.
We talked all about it. I talked to him probably. Three different times. Two of those times were for at least 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Real nice guy.
He got his start in plumbing with Fred Flum Plumbing, which was one of the first big new construction plumbing outfits over on the Kansas side here in the metro.
Yeah.
So.
Where do they live now? Does he live now?
I didn't ask Arizona, him. I think.
Oh, man, I would love to live in Arizona. During
I think he does live in Arizona. So it's either Arizona or New Mexico. It's a desert state wherever he lives.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, we had a pretty badass time. It's unclear on the next event if it's going to be open to the public or private. So if you're going to send us those suggestions for who you'd like to see speak, if we pick who you want and you want to see them, you might have to be a TradeWinds member.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're still putting all those pieces together.
Full transparency. Mitch and I get along a lot, but we butt heads.
Yep.
I want it to be. Let's just be. Honest, yeah. I want it to be TradeWinds only. Mitch wants it to be open to the public, and we'll bat it back and forth and make a decision.
And ultimately, if the Vegas event is open to the public, that means we have to have another event this year that is private, because David and I do agree on this, that we want to give our TradeWinds members a private event every year.
Yeah,
and so,
at least one.
Yeah.
Is my...
Yeah. And so we might bust out another retreat somewhere. I don't know what we'll do, but we'll figure something out.
I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast. We talked about doing the elk hunt.
Yeah.
But it was going to be so limited. And we may still do an elk hunt, but it may just not be for TradeWinds. I don't know.
Might do a ranch hunt in Texas.
But we might do a pig hunt in Texas at a big place. And that could literally take all the TradeWinds members if they wanted.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to do that. I will take my 300 blackout and I will smoke some pigs.
Yeah.
And we will eat them right there.
Some other options we've always considered are things like they have giant ranches out in like certain very picturesque valleys where these billionaires and millionaires will build these massive sprawling ranches.
Yeah.
And then it's not really Airbnb, but they will lease them out for events. The ranches are so big and they've got big enough kitchens and everything else.
Yeah.
And they'll provide the private chef and all of that stuff. And you can just go hang out on the ranch and enjoy. But one thing we have learned is because we did a lake event last year, logistics to get to these places can keep people from coming. And so like the lake event, they had to fly to Kansas City and then drive 2.5 hours to the lake.
Yeah. We probably won't make that mistake again.
Yeah.
If we did that, we would probably like this time we would do it at Smithville where it's only 30 minutes.
Yeah, or something.
Or something like that. But
yeah,
they're tough to put together when it's that way. So we'll see.
We'll figure something out. But stay tuned for more events to come because they keep getting better.
The networking at the events and the guys sharing ideas and then joining these small groups together, that's the most valuable part, I feel like. So when we do have these that are private like that, and you can't go anywhere and you're stuck with those guys for 2 days.
Yeah.
It's like that times 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, hey, what do you do? And you literally can find out how a person runs their business to the T over a 2 day period.
Yeah.
And it's invaluable. You could learn in 2 days what could take you 5 years to figure out in your own business.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's very organic sharing.
I broke my mic. I got it. We're good.
Very organic sharing of information from business owner to business owner. So,
but those are in the works. Yeah. We'll see.
Yep.
So I like the first month after, I don't have to fuck with any of that stuff. So it's kind of nice. Like
yep.
A little, it's like a mini break.
It's like a break.
It's like a little mini break. But every time we do one, you know, from my perspective, it gets a little easier. You know, learn a little more, gets a little easier.
Yep.
You know, you got more power because you got more guys coming.
Yep.
You got more clout because of the guys that came to the one before that. So
yeah,
I'm very optimistic with the way that Tradewinds is going.
Yeah.
As of right, like after the event, I was, it's weird. I didn't feel like I was unenergized, but I do feel re-energized after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I wasn't down or anything. I was loving it. But it's like after, it's like, oh shit. Okay. It's like, it's like a hit of nitrous.
A lot of it's a little boost of confidence because you and I knew what everything was going on with the event and how to put it together and what all it was taking and everything else. And the whole time you kind of have this thing in the back of your mind of like, man, I hope this is worth it.
Oh yeah. 100%.
I hope this works. And then when it actually works and goes off and everything works, it's like, we did it.
Yeah. We did it.
But meanwhile, and this is a testament to anybody else that's getting ready to go into business or do something that you're unsure of. Meanwhile, David and I stayed the course and we're just following our instincts and trusting our gut and doing what we think is right.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it works out.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a feeling that will stay with you forever.
Yes.
Like when you do something new and you force yourself to do something new, that feeling just comes back.
Yeah.
It's a constant, the constant growth battle is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like if you want to stay stagnant and let inflation run you over, go ahead.
Right.
But that ain't the way to go about it.
Nope.
You know?
Not at all.
It is, but you're right. It is a little bit of a confidence boost because you're right. You're scared to death the whole time. You're like, man, if Roger has to back out for some reason, we've sold all these fucking tickets. Oh my God, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, what if the event fucking burns down? What if they have an issue or what if I didn't?
Water main break and they have to close the hotel.
Yeah,
or
what happens if I didn't fill out the paperwork right and they tell me we can't have the event.
We don't have your room.
Yeah, or something like that. So the whole time you're like freaking the fuck out and then it goes off and you're like, okay, got it.
Or let's be real. What happens if you need internet to run your event and you get in the room and you realize that they don't have the internet they promised you?
How about that little stroke of genius?
Yeah.
Or
what happens if you need a projector for PowerPoint presentations and it dies in middle of somebody's presentation?
Yeah, we had a couple obstacles this weekend.
Figured it the fuck out.
Yeah. I was sitting. Let me give credit to Janine.
Yeah.
So
that internet box is cool.
First off, that internet runs everything in our house, not my office. My office runs on the fiber that Joey had put in, down in my metal building. But that T-Mobile box runs off of cell phone towers and can run like six devices at a whack. And I'm telling her this that night. And I'm like, this has happened. We don't know if we're going to get it. I'm a little freaked out. She goes, I'll just bring our internet box. And I was like, at first I was like, how dumb am I that I didn't think about that? And then this other time I'm like, babe, I love you. Thank you.
Yeah.
She brought it. It streamed the video. It was perfect. It was flawless.
It worked.
It was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, all right.
Sweet deal.
Stroke of genius.
Yep.
But you're right. It's like there's always those battles, the projector going out.
Yep.
And Nick being up, I felt so bad for him.
Yeah.
He held it together. Like he didn't have his slides because the projector went down. I called Encore. They brought another one immediately.
Yep.
And he fucking powered through and everyone was like, dude, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Like they were like, I can't believe you held it together.
Yep.
Like
but that's real life business. That's not just,
yeah, where I was going with that.
Yeah. That's literally the key to business anywhere is you're going to get thrown for curveballs. Like you can't expect the curveball. You just know it's coming.
Yeah.
And so rather than being fearful of the curveball that you know is coming anyway, that's like being afraid of the dark.
Yeah.
It gets dark every night.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, it's coming.
You know, it's coming. So just be ready for it.
Yeah, get over it.
And so like you're going to have curveballs come and you just got to learn how to approach it with a calm head, take a breath and be like, all right, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
You know,
the ability to adapt is some guys are natural at it. It's a very learnable skill.
Yes.
You can teach yourself to just, hey, no matter what happens, I'm going to stand up and take care of this. We're going to adapt and we're going to move forward. Who gives a shit?
Yep.
You can learn that.
Yeah.
That's not something that's just ingrained to certain people.
Yep.
Anyone can do that.
Yeah.
It was fun, man.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Pretty sweet deal. So we're going to do something on this show that we have not done in a while, but we're going to do it now.
I'm hacking up my lungs today, man.
We've gotten a couple good questions. Ironically, these questions came about a week apart from each other, but they're from the same person. Okay. And so, and they're both really good questions, and they're both questions that we have not really covered on the show in depth that I can recall, at least not in the recent history. So
let me get a drink from my bachelorette bash cup. Yeah, with my
steal my wife's
weird yellow
wine
straw.
Cup.
I don't care.
That's probably from a winery tour bachelorette party, if
you
I had
what?
To guess.
It's still delicious.
Well,
does this make me look bad?
If it's a bachelorette party, that means who knows what's on that cup.
That's not. Don't say things like that to me.
Okay, so
questions. What do you got?
I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right. This is Naomi Artoff.
How's it spelled? Tell me.
A-R-T-O-F-F. Artoff.
Okay, yeah, that's probably right.
Artoff. Yeah.
We know that it's Naomi, though.
Naomi.
That's the only way to say Naomi.
Thank you to Ryan Reynolds. That is I Moan backwards.
That's not where I was going
Van
with that.
Van Wilder?
Yeah, but...
yeah.
That's good, dude.
Sorry to offend you, Naomi, but I doubt we did because you and I have chatted a little bit, and I don't think you're offended that easily. So
you're not Ryan Reynolds. You didn't say it.
Right. Yeah. Right. I'm just quoting somebody.
Yeah, you're just quoting somebody.
So she questioned a little while ago, how do you go about providing benefits for your people? And we'll get to her other question here in a minute.
Yeah, this first one's, we've talked about the first one quite a bit.
A little bit in passing. So... when you are small and growing, you're going to come to a point where you need to provide benefits for your guys. And benefits as a whole is all of their package in addition, above and beyond their pay, right?
Yes.
So if I'm paying a guy $20 an hour, but I give him a week's paid vacation, that week's paid vacation is a benefit. If I give him insurance, that's a benefit. If I give him 401k, that's a benefit.
If you have to give him per diem, that's a benefit.
Per diem kind of goes down as pay.
Does it?
Yeah. It's a little bit different. Yeah. But sales bonuses would be kind of
sales
a benefit,
bonus,
right?
Yeah.
Technically it's pay, but it's a benefit to work there.
It's kind of the same as per diem, right?
Yeah, similar.
Kind of the same.
But take home vehicle benefit.
Yep.
You know, things like that, right?
That I feel like that in our industry now is a dual benefit. It saves you on gas. It gets the guys to the job quicker, and they get a vehicle to take home and don't put mileage and gas money out of their pocket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It works both ways.
Yeah.
And depending on where they live, it can be a help or a hurt. You know, if they live in the ghetto, then your vehicle's now subject to break-ins.
If they live in the ghetto, you're not doing it.
Yeah.
You can put caveats on that stuff.
Yeah. Our caveat is you just have to live within our service area. And guess what? We have a black hole in our service area around the ghetto.
Yeah.
We don't work there.
Exactly.
So
that's my point.
And what's funny, when somebody calls us from the ghetto, and they'll be like, I need plumbing work or whatever. And you ask for their address and we realize they're in the ghetto. And we that's our no-go zone.
No-go zone.
We just say, I'm sorry, we don't service that area. And they're like, oh, you don't work in the ghetto?
No, we don't.
And I'm like, we just don't service that area.
Yeah.
That's not an area we service.
One, not to be a dick, but you don't have any money. And two, I don't want everything stolen out of my van when I'm down there.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
We care about our tools and our safety and our income, and the ghetto does not typically provide any of those three. So.
Yeah, none of them. I had to think about it. Like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We're good.
But the main benefit that is the difficult one to do is going to be health insurance and then immediately followed by a 401k or a retirement match. Those are the two most difficult to pull off. And so I wanted to take some time and explain at least the benefits that we do in our company and a little bit about how we went about doing them. So and I'll try to do them in order as they became available to the guys.
Go ahead.
So most companies offer 6 paid holidays. That's going to be New Year's Day, Labor Day. Or I'm sorry, Memorial Day.
Yeah, then Labor Day. July 4th.
July 4th, Thanksgiving, Memorial Day.
Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay? Those are going to be your 6 main holidays.
Some companies will give off Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And
some
so
don't.
what we did is I thought, you know, everybody always has these holidays that they want off before or after or whatever. And I want the cream of the crop plumbers. I want great guys that I don't have to micromanage or anything else. And so I said, instead of doing six, I'm going to do eight. And so what it started is eight paid holidays. And there were six paid holidays with two floaters. And the rule for a floating holiday was it must be used in conjunction before or after a paid holiday. And so where this comes about is, like, let's say 4th of July is on a Thursday and you want a 4-day weekend. You could use your floating holiday on the Friday after the 4th.
Gotcha.
Let's say 4th of July is a Friday and you want a 4-day weekend.
Do Friday or Thursday.
You could do
or
the Thursday before or the Monday after, right?
Yeah.
The day after Thanksgiving. That's a pretty easy one, right?
Do guys use that a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some guys would want, like, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day or something like that.
Yeah, depending on what day they fall on.
Yeah, and because everybody's families are totally different and the holidays that they embrace and the holidays that they don't care about are totally different, I said, let's do eight paid holidays. Two of them are floaters. The first year we did that, everybody took the day after Thanksgiving off. And
dude, Thanksgiving may be our most, and this is hard to say after 4th of July, maybe our most national holiday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everyone is like, hey, we're shutting this country down.
It's not political.
And it's family time.
It's not divisive unless you're on the hardcore side of things where you're
a crazy nut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not, because it's not a religious holiday.
Right.
It's an American holiday.
Yep.
Whether you're here from another country, born here, whatever.
Yep.
We're all going to take this time for family.
Yeah. And when I say everybody took the day off, I don't say that like I'm upset that they took the day off. Like, I was surprised, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow, that says something, right?
Yeah.
And so then the very next year, we modified it to where we have seven paid holidays and one floater.
And we just made
the day after Thanksgiving. It's a paid holiday for Thanksgiving and Black Friday, paid days off.
Nice.
And so the reason why we did it was because it's very difficult to schedule things when you don't know who's going to work and who's not going to work. And
all our
plumbers are off, but our dispatcher wants to work or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're just closed.
If you're going to have a floating day, it can't be one that everyone's going to take because it's just hard to run business.
Yeah. And so that's very rare for a plumbing company to take off the day after Thanksgiving. That's not common. But
I mean, it's
our guys value their family and their personal time, and we're happy to give it, and they earn it. So that's our benefits when it comes to holidays. Okay. Let's see. The next benefit we offered was PTO.
Okay.
And
how do they accrue PTO? Or is it a given and then they have to accrue extra or what?
There are a couple of different ways you can do it. Everybody does it differently.
Yeah.
Some are going to accrue for every hour worked. You're getting a certain amount of PTO.
Yeah. Janine's work, it was for every 8 hours, you got 1 hour or something like that. Like every 12 hours, you got 1 hour or something.
Yeah. And so some companies do it that way. We just did it based off of tenure and time. And so you have one, like, and again, I'm wanting the cream of the crop. Like think about it. In my business, I want to hire experienced plumbers. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to cost you more.
That means I got to, like, the experienced plumbers have a job somewhere. I gotta lure them away from their job that they're currently happy
at. Yeah, good plumbers don't get fired.
Right.
I mean, unless they're sleeping with the wife's boss's wife or, you know, something.
The wife's boss.
Yeah, I know. A little dyslexic today. Like, unless it's something crazy and out of the blue, those guys don't leave for anything other than, to be honest, it used to be money. And
right.
Now it's culture on top of money.
Yeah.
And culture is really benefits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so what I decided to do was, like, okay, I can't take a guy that's got 2 or 3 weeks of paid vacation and bring him on board and say, like, oh, by the way, you don't get PTO for a year. That's not going to work. And so what I did in our company was full-time employees get 1 week of PTO at 90 days of employment. They get 2 weeks of PTO at 1 year, and they get 3 weeks at 2 years.
3 weeks at 2 years?
Yeah.
Do you have any spots available? I won't do plumbing.
Yeah.
But I will answer the phones.
Those are not full-time spots, so they don't get bennies. Only full-time employees get benefits.
Well, fuck you then. How about that?
So the PTO is a difficult one to financially pull off. You have to have your pricing right because you're paying a guy a week's worth of wage and you're not getting anything in return for it. And so you got to have your pricing right so that you can afford that.
Let me ask you a question. I don't want to take a right turn here. Have you ever actually sat down and added up?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What is it? In your hourly rate,
yeah.
What is the dollar amount that goes towards 1 week of a guy's PTO?
Well, so the way I do it is because our guys are paid on a performance-based pay. They're paid on basically flag hour, right?
Flat rate.
It's a flat rate. We charge flat rate and we pay flat rate. And so if the task says it takes you 3 hours, you're paid for 3 hours. If you get it done in two, you're still paid for three. If you get it done in three and a half, you're still paid for three. It's very much like an automotive mechanic.
Yeah.
Okay. Where a lot of companies that pay on the flag hour like that, whenever you go to take PTO, they just have a benchmarked hourly rate or daily rate for PTO. And what that comes out to is your guys take a pay cut when they take a vacation. You might have a guy that's used to bringing home $1,000 a week, $2,000 a week, and then he's going to go get PTO at $700 a week.
Yeah.
And so what I did was in your first 90 days of employment, the day you're entitled to a week of PTO, I take your total earnings over that 90 days and I divide it amongst the number of days you worked and I come up with your average daily income. And that becomes your PTO pay.
Now, do you redo that every year?
Every year, we go back to the previous year they worked and we total up how many days they worked.
So you do the first year they're there, you do the first 90 days. That's their first.
Well, because they get a week's PTO at 90.
That's what I'm saying. So at 90 days, you do that. But then the next year, it goes off their total year.
Every year on their anniversary, we look at their total income.
From the year before. And that's.
No, total income from anniversary to anniversary date.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the Void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yeah, for that whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we divide it into the number of days they worked.
Gotcha.
And then we come up with an average daily earnings.
Gotcha.
And then that, so in other words, my guys do not take a pay cut.
They're setting
on PTO.
Well, they're setting their own vacation.
They're setting their own PTO.
Yeah. They're setting their own vacation pay for PTO.
Yeah. If you want badass PTO pay, perform badass.
Yeah.
And then you get it year round.
Yeah. So your best performers, so your highest paid guys get paid more when they're on vacation.
Yeah.
Because they earned it the year before.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
And so that's how we do the PTO thing. Now, as I'm telling you this, I'm not telling you this like you guys have to do this. This is just, I'm speaking from example, from experience.
Like another example that, like what you could do is you offer their base pay. You could always just give them their base pay. I mean, that's a pay cut for them.
Yeah.
You know, but that would be an easy way to do it for someone that isn't sure yet.
Yeah.
And doesn't want to go through all that work. Like if you.
Well, and some companies pay like hourly plus sales bonuses. Right. Yeah. And so maybe their PTO pay is just hourly because they didn't sell anything.
Yeah.
Right. It just is what it is. The next benefit that we brought in was health insurance. And this is the hardest one to do.
Health, you know, it's the scariest one for people to do, but it's really not that bad.
Well, I was going to say.
It's scary, but it's really.
Yeah.
It's just money.
I was just going to say I labeled it as the hardest one to do because that's what people think.
Yeah.
It's not the hardest. No. It's the most daunting.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And I think it gets that kind of rap because most of our guys in TradeWinds are newer and they've never had to go through it.
Yeah.
And that's why they do it one time. They're like, oh, dude, that's it. That's all it's going to take. Yep. Like in the one-on-ones, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean I could just, like we had a call the other day and the guy has two young plumbers, right? And he's like, well, it's easier for them to get it on Marketplace. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just pay them, pay. Well, I don't want to pay for it. They're getting it on Marketplace. No, you could just write them a check at the end of the month for $500 towards their insurance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can? Yeah. And you're providing their insurance.
Yeah.
Yes, they're responsible for it, but you're actually writing them a check that goes towards their insurance.
Yeah.
You're still providing insurance for them.
Yeah. There's a couple of different ways that you can do the insurance thing.
Sorry,
one is you can fund it. You can run the policy. And that's what we do in our company. We found, so you can go to a private health insurance brokerage.
Yes.
And they will put a plan together for you. In most states, you have to have three employees before you can get a group plan.
Yeah, you have to have minimum on. Three minimum payroll on the policy.
Yeah. And so like when we started our company, I was the plumber. My wife was an undocumented worker within the company. I love it. She's working every day, but like we were just taking owner's draws, right? She wasn't. Yeah. She's an employee, but she's not getting paid, right?
She's getting paid through your pay.
Yeah. I was just taking owner's draws enough to cover our expenses.
Yeah.
And the reason why we did it that way, I was listed as an employee. She was not, because the moment you have two employees, you have to have work comp. And so it's like, all right, she's not going to get hurt sitting at a computer at home.
Well, and if she does, you have health insurance.
Yeah.
And you have homeowner's insurance. It's right. Like, it's not like that she's not protected.
Right. Right. You know? And so we ran the company for about 9 months with me as the only listed employee, even though she's working 40 hours a week, answering calls, doing the books and everything. Then when we hired our first plumber, technically we hired Danielle like an hour before we hired our first plumber.
So that you'd have three.
So now we have three people on the payroll. And all I did was reduce my pay and shift it over to hers.
Yeah.
Because my pay was covering the whole household and now she has pay, right? So we reduced my pay, shifted over to hers, put us all on payroll. And now we have three on payroll and now we qualify for a group plan. And so we do this group plan. We source it out to a couple of different brokers. And we learned that because of all the governmental restrictions in health insurance, you don't have to think that you have to go shop this out between 5 or 10 brokers. What you're going to find is
it's within dollars,
like singular dollars, not even tens of dollars.
No.
You're going to find very comparable. If you're getting wildly different pricing from one broker to another, wildly different plans.
Yeah. Something's going on there.
So like we have Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's a standard like PPO health insurance.
Yeah.
Okay. And,
very basic.
And if I were to take our plan and go shop it with another broker, I'm not kidding you. It would be within single dollars per employee different.
If you compared apples to apples. Yeah.
Yeah.
It may be $10 different per employee.
And the reason why is because the government very highly regulates how much money the brokers can mark that up.
I really wish they'd get to that on the car insurance
side. I know.
God, these motherfuckers.
And so we did a Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. We offer three different plans, like a gold, silver, bronze. They can pick whatever they want. And again, our benefit that we like providing in or offering insurance alone is a benefit.
Yeah.
Simply facilitating your employee to be able to buy it. That's a benefit.
Yeah.
We took it one step further and a lot of companies, you'll realize this once you actually flip to the other side of ownership and buy insurance, you'll realize just how little your previous employer was kicking in on insurance.
Yeah. It's not as much as you think it is.
Right. Right.
Oh, they pay for my insurance. I can't leave here. If you broke it down and actually looked at it,
look at how much they're deducting out of your check.
They may be paying $200 a month. The rest is coming out of your check. They're just facilitating it. And then they come to you and be like, oh, well, we provide insurance. We're badass. Yeah. Are you really?
Right.
They just know that those guys aren't doing that.
Yeah.
And they know they can get away with it.
Well, and the other drawback that I never liked with that is, so they're the employer's covering a percentage of the employee's insurance plan, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if we got Bob and Bill, and Bob is a single guy in his 20s with no wife and kids?
Yeah, his insurance is cheap.
And Bill is a fucking breeder over 50, and he's got a wife and 13 kids.
A fucking breeder.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That's so good.
A lot of our guys in Tradewinds are breeders. We have...
Dude, we got some guys
with so many guys in Tradewinds with three or more kids, and it's like, dude, you guys know what causes that, right? Get some fucking cable.
That's not where I thought you were going to go with that. Like, dude. Oh, my God. It was like, hey, do we need to have the sex talk with you guys?
Yeah.
No, I'm 45. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Your pullout game is weak. But anyway, I never liked how, like, you take those two different scenarios, and if the company's kicking in 10% of the insurance, well, now Bob gets, like, a crappy benefit, but Bill over here gets an amazing benefit because he's getting 10% of a much larger piece of the pie, right?
Yeah.
And so what I decided to do was I was like, okay, we're going to cover the employee's insurance in full at 100%. And that's the way we universally standardize this. Your insurance.
I like the way you do this too.
Yeah. If you're 20 and you're young, your insurance is cheap. I'm still covering it in full. If you're 50 and you're older, your insurance is more, but you're making more because you're 50 and you're older and you have more experience. I'm still covering it in full. Right. And so, that way we standardize it all the way across the board and the benefit per employee is equal. I cover your direct insurance. And the way that we do it in my company is I cover your health premium only. I don't cover your vision. I don't cover your dental. It's health only.
Yeah.
But you can kick in your own personal money to cover the vision and the dental. And then if you have a wife, if you've chosen to have a wife and you've chosen to have kids and all of that stuff, then you have to pay for that. But that's the way for me to equalize that everybody gets the same benefit if you're a full-time employee.
Yeah.
And that way, single guy Bob in his 20s versus married guy Bill in his 50s that's a breeder.
I love they're both Bill and Bob.
Bill and Bob. But that way you're not disproportionate in your benefits from one guy to the other.
Yeah.
So
it makes it fair.
And then we've got guys that are single. And we just cover their insurance. We've got guys that are married and have kids and we cover their insurance and then they pay extra for their wife and kids, right?
Yeah.
And so it works really well. Another thing that we did as a benefit was we offer Aflac. We pay
Aflac
for the Aflac.
I thought they had to pay for it.
No, so we pay for their... my mind just went blank. Ironically, my wife just walked in the room. What is it? The accident. So we cover their accident policy.
Oh, so if they get hurt at work and they need above service?
No. If they get hurt at work, that's work comp. And if they get hurt at home, that's health insurance.
Okay.
Aflac covers you for downtime related to work or home injuries.
Your salary. I gotcha.
Yeah. And so it's like...
It's actually pretty cheap, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not crazy expensive.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
But we cover your accident policy. And Aflac has like 5 different policies. They've got accidental death and dismemberment. They got short-term disability, death long-term...
And dismemberment.
Yeah, if you lose a finger.
No, I'm just saying...
Like that picture I showed you before the show.
Stop showing me gross fucking photos before the show, please.
But yeah, they have other policies too. They got cancer policies and all of this stuff.
Dude, those cancer policies, Jenny and I have been looking at them.
Because
I don't want to take another right turn, but it's like, man, everyone's got cancer. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And so we cover the accident portion, but if they want to pay extra for the others, they can. And that's fine. Other benefits that we offer, let's see, take-home vehicles.
Take-home vehicles, yeah. That's an easy one, though.
That's an easy one.
Vacation's easy. We already talked about that.
I'm going to call this a benefit. We provide their uniforms, right? So they don't have to buy work clothes. We provide them.
Yeah. To be honest, that is a benefit to you as well.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to worry about those greasy-up jackasses that don't want to wash their jeans and don't want to take care of their shirts.
Yep.
It makes them look professional, and that helps you in the long run.
Yeah.
Right?
We brought car washes in house. I used to give them gift cards to the local like drive-in car wash.
Yeah.
And the one where you have to wash it yourself. Like we can't go through the drive-through car washes.
No, you can't.
We still run into headaches and issues. Guys get busy. They don't want to do it. They feel like they're having to do it for free. They don't do a very good job of it because they're trying to rush through it because it's doing it for free. But that's kind of the trade-off of, you wash the car, I give you the car kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just still a sticky gray area. And so I even brought that in-house. And every other week at our team meeting, while we're inside having a team meeting, there's a mobile car wash guy outside washing our entire fleet. And so our entire fleet's washed at least 25 times a year. It's pretty badass.
Yeah. It's not that expensive. What are you paying for that?
It's about $112.
Every week?
Every other week, because we only do it every other week. So call it $225 a month.
That's not bad.
To have your fleet, like we have a fleet of about 4 to 5 transits that are getting washed.
You were probably spending, when you were doing those cards, you were probably $100.
I mean, it's a little more to have it done in-house, but here's the thing, is I don't have the service disruption. Yeah.
They're done.
It's done. It looks good, right? They do it well, but also it's happening while we're in a meeting. So yeah. It's like you're buying time is really what you're doing.
A little bit, yeah.
You just mentioned, Dave, or babe, you just mentioned something else. What do you say?
Laundry,
yeah. So on top of providing their uniforms.
Oh, I thought the uniforms and laundry was one and the same.
No. So we provide them uniforms. We provide them. So we have several different uniform setups. We've got cargo pants. We've got button-down pocketed shirts that are embroidered with their logos and stuff.
I love a good button-down. I still have. You want to hear something fucked up? I still have my Enterprise button-down shirt.
Oh, yeah?
From when we worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car 23 years ago.
Probably still fits, too.
Still, it says Dave on it.
Yeah.
It, damn right it still fits. I'm in great shape.
Yeah.
Don't laugh. It's not funny. Fuck you.
You're just a midget.
I'm fucking 6 feet. Jesus. I swear to God. Don't you look at me like, can you get your wife out of here?
Nope.
She keeps side-eyeing me.
Nope.
She'll...
So in another thing that we offer is we offer a mobile laundry service. So a lot of shops that do this, they will, like, they have lockers like with Cintas or Aramark or something like
that's
that.
That's what I thought yours was something like that.
Yeah, where you got lockers in the shop and you dump your dirties in there and you pick up your cleans from your locker and all that stuff.
Yeah, and when one of them's trash, they just give you a new shirt.
Yeah, they replace it and they charge you for it.
Yeah, it's,
yeah.
I thought that's what you did.
No, so in those types of setups, and this is good for business owners to hear, in those types of setups, you're leasing your uniforms.
Yeah.
And your lease payment covers the replacement when buttons and shirts get ripped and torn and destroyed and everything else. And they will adjust your lease pricing based off of your damage. So if you're damaging a shirt a week, your lease pricing is going to go up for sure.
Yeah.
What we do is we buy the uniforms outright, and then the guys own them. Like, we own them, but we give them to guys. And then we have a company locally. This company is called Laundry Matters. And they provide the guys with a big black canvas bag, and they put their dirties in the bag and set it on their front porch.
Is it like on Tuesdays, they got to have them out?
Yeah.
Like picking up trash.
Different, and it's a different day based off of where you live in the city. They've got a route, and, you know, if Northland is this day.
Service,
and,
that's cool.
Yeah. And they will come by in the morning and pick up your bag. And then in the evening or the next day, they drop it back off and everything's clean.
Folded up and ready to
go. Folded, hangered, sleeved in plastic sleeves. Yeah.
Fluff and flow.
It is awesome.
I love it.
And so a little side note about Laundry Matters. It's a friend of mine that owns the company. And whenever you hear me tell the story about when we first started and I was buying transits left and right and I didn't have plumbers to use them, I ran out of space for transit.
Drive that transit.
She's the one I let drive
shit.
I gave it to her. I'm like, well, you, because she's driving all over the city picking up laundry.
Take this thing.
I got an empty cargo van. I'm like,
take this.
She can use it. It helps me out because it gets it out of my hair.
That's funny.
And so I just gave it to her, and she's like, what do you like? I'll rent it from you. And I'm like, no, you driving it is rent enough. Yeah. Like, just get it out of here.
Yeah. Change the oil. Take it.
Yeah, she just put gas in it and rolled, you know?
Oh, my God.
And she was like, this is badass.
Does your wife throw, like, your other regular clothes in there, too?
So here's the cool thing.
Because she's tired of fucking with your shit.
We provide our guys with actual real towels that are absorbent instead of those, like, Cintas towels that just push water around and don't do shit.
They're awful.
It's like they've waxed the towels. Like, the towels repel water.
I think they do put a chemical on them.
Yeah.
So that it helps them be stain.
Yeah.
Repellent.
It's so stain repellent, like, it won't even absorb water.
Yeah, it just pushes it around. You're right. It's bullshit.
And so we buy actual terry cloth towels off Amazon for cheap. They don't even have to be good towels.
They're cheap as shit. Because you're throwing them away if that's oil. You're just gone.
And the guys burn through them and they trash them and everything else. But we buy those towels and that is included. Like, throw them in your laundry. And Laundry Matters will wash your truck towels with your other laundry.
And they'll bring them back.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I do my own laundry at home, so.
I don't do his laundry.
Now, I could put my laundry in a laundry. Laundry Matters is not a commercial company. Laundry Matters is actually a company for busy mothers that don't have time to do laundry, and they can literally pay somebody to wash and fold their laundry for them and put it back. I kind of stole them for the purpose of business.
No, but, I understand that.
I could totally put all my dirty clothes in my bag on the front porch. Laundry Matters does not care what's in the bag.
I'm trying to decide why your wife isn't doing your laundry.
Yeah, that's another topic for another day. We'll get into that. We'll get into that in the future.
I mean,
so
you sure you don't want to get into it right now? I mean, she's right there.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Are you positive?
We'll have Danielle as a guest on the show one day. And
is she too busy answering the phones for you to wash your underwear?
Because we bleep out cuss words. We'll just, the whole show will be just a
I don't bleep out the cuss words. I've been better. Have you noticed?
You've done better.
Yeah. Mitch yelled at me.
Yeah.
You gotta do better.
You were cussing too fucking much.
I know. I don't understand. Why aren't you doing his laundry?
We'll get into that later.
Why aren't you doing his laundry?
Mysterious.
Man, pre-bought meals. Don't get your laundry done. Paying her to answer the phones, and you can't wash some underwear.
Just got the finger.
I think she just told you you're number one in her book.
I am number one, and don't you forget it. Do you want to talk about Roth IRAs real quick? Retirement.
Yeah, so that's the last benefit that we added, and that was retirement accounts. And there's a couple of different ways to do that.
Retirement's easy. Everyone wants to act like it's some big deal. It's this big, giant expense. It costs you the least of everything we've talked about so far.
Yes, it is the least costly benefit, but one of the better benefits for you guys. So
yeah, because they think it's worth the world.
Yeah. I'm not going to act like I know the differences between these two, but you're going to have the option to sign your guys up for a simple IRA or a 401k. And a simple IRA and a 401k act very similar to the employee.
Yes.
The difference between the two is the contribution maximum each year changes.
Yes.
But also the advantages to the business owner change as well.
Yes.
And I'm under the impression that you can actually have a little bit of discrimination when you have a 401k. And what I mean by that is,
yes,
when you have a 401k, you can set different rules for your match and all of those things for your executive level members of the business, to where you can say employees, we match dollar for dollar up to 3%, and executives, we maybe have a higher match or a higher percentage of salary or something.
Yes.
What we did in our company was we did a simple IRA. And essentially what it is we match dollar for dollar up to 3% of your salary. So if you make $100,000 a year and you put in 3%, it's $3,000. I'm putting in $3,000.
Yeah.
And if you make $100,000 a year and you put in $10,000, I'm putting in $3,000 because it's up to 3% of your annual salary.
Yeah.
But either which way, and I always encourage my guys to put in the max.
It's actually 5%.
Oh, we match dollar for dollar up to 5? Okay, cool. See, she knows more about this than I do.
That's good.
So I always encourage the guys to go up to go at least put in as much as at least as we match, because that way you're doubling your money on your retirement. If you make $100,000 a year and you put in 5 and I match with 5, you now just doubled your 5 to 10, and that's before the stock market takes over.
Yes. And I try to tell guys, and the hard thing is with young guys, they don't understand. They'd rather have their money now because it's weird. They haven't been alive long enough. Mm-hmm. The real benefit of you providing them an IRA or a 401k is that it lowers their tax burden.
Yes.
And so not only do they make money on the money they're putting in and making money from the money that you're putting in, it lowers the amount of taxes they're going to pay at the end of the year.
Yeah, so that guy that makes 100 and put in 5% into the IRA, he's now taxed on 95 and not 100.
Yes, and when you start getting up there above 100, 120, 150, 170, it's a substantial tax break.
Yeah.
If you can actually put in the max.
Yeah.
If you have a well-run household and you mind your budget and you're really socking money away, the tax savings are sometimes greater than the amount of money that you're putting into it.
Yeah.
That's the hidden savings or the hidden benefit for providing retirement. I wish a lot of business owners would understand that and just explain that better to their employees.
Yeah.
Because it makes, not only is it good for them and good for their future, whether they stay with you or not, but it makes the benefit stand out more.
Yeah.
It shows them that, oh, this actually is a real quote-unquote benefit that is badass.
So let me let me read these off here. So for a simple IRA in 2025.
Oh, I would have brought my cheat sheet if I knew you wanted to talk about this today.
Employees can contribute $16,500 if you're under the age of 50. If you're over the age of 50, you can do an additional $3,500.
Yeah.
So that gets you to $20,000.
Yeah, it's the catch-up. Okay. Catch-up law.
Those aged 60 to 63 can contribute an additional $5,250.
Yes.
Okay. So that's now that gets you from $20,000 to like $2,250. Okay. Per year.
Yeah, 401k is higher. I think it starts at 20 or 21. Well, that's what like that.
That's. I'm going to change this over to if I can get my.
Yeah, I think I think 401k has a higher cap.
401k.
And I'm just trying to remember. I haven't looked at it in a while.
So a 401k is.
They changed it this year. It went up this year.
Yeah, a 401k starts at the max for the elderly on the simple. So it's 23.5.
23.5 now. Yeah.
But then.
The catch up.
The
catch up
contributions. For those 50 years or older, the combined employee-employer contribution limit is $70,000 a year.
Yeah, that's so, a fucking huge number for tax diversion. It's, you know, the whole thing, I don't want to get into a whole thing here. Like, you know, Roth IRAs are and 401ks are very prominent now because you pay taxes up front and they're hoping that the growth outruns the taxes that you pay now so that later when you're pulling that money out, you have no tax liability on... You only have to pay taxes on the growth portion of it and not the money that you put in originally. And they're thinking that that's going to be better in the long term.
Well,
but you don't.
I'll challenge that here for a second since we're talking IRA stuff. So the leverage there was like on a Roth IRA, you're investing post-tax. So you pay today's tax. You invest that money after taxes into the stock market, right?
Yeah.
And then the leverage there is that you're assuming taxes will be lower by the time you take it out.
No, you're assuming taxes will be higher.
Yes. You're assuming taxes will be higher, but you deposited the money in at the lower tax burden, right?
You only pay taxes on the growth portion, I think, versus the original money put in.
I wonder if the findings of DOGE and therefore the shrinking of wasteful spending and the lower... Like, essentially, DOGE should lower our tax burden.
Yes,
if you lower the size of government, you're either going to make the government flush with cash, or you're going to lower the tax liability of everybody. So
it wouldn't matter because, well, I shouldn't say it wouldn't matter.
It's still your money coming out at the end anyway.
No, but what I want to say is it doesn't matter because even with inflation, if taxes stay the same percentage-wise, you'll still be paying more money out.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I love this. Have you noticed this trend? It's kind of started to fade off, but bartenders and servers, well, if you can't tip 20, you know, it used to be 10% or 15%.
Now it's 20.
Now, if you can't do 20, it's we got to outrun inflation. Well... Inflation has caused my meal price to go up. So if I tip 10%, it's actually still more money.
Yeah.
But that's why you're a bartender or server because you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. I still want to be a bartender someday just for fun and own my own restaurant. But it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like you're still making more money off of it. But it's the same thought process. One thing I like to think of a lot is, and this is just what we have done. I believe in putting in as soon as you can when you're young and getting those tax deferred benefits instead of it being a Roth when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you hit 40 and you've got $1 million in there, now you're trying to fill the gap because you can't pull that money out till you're 59 and a half, regardless of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're trying to fill that gap and cut years off every year.
Yeah.
What do I need? I need $200,000 a year, $100,000 a year, whatever it is. Okay, so now from now on, every $100,000 I can invest, I take a year off.
Yeah.
And I like to put those in.
Put it in a Roth because it's post-tax.
No, I don't do a Roth at all. Do
okay.
ETFs, stocks, things like that.
Yeah, okay.
Mutual funds.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of mutual funds, but basically what you're doing is you've started the nest egg for after 59 and a half, and now it's how do I start taking years off to get it down?
Right.
Like that's just kind of the game and the challenge.
Yeah.
You know, who knows how the one thing I hate about all that planning, everything, it's like, man, what if it happens if I get hit in a fucking car tomorrow and I could have spent all that money on something cool?
Right.
You know, like what happens if I only live to 75 and I've got $3 million? Like, obviously I'm happy because Layla gets to get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe I'll give some to my nieces and nephews and things like that. And
yep.
But it's like, it's just, it's a fun game to play. But the problem is you got to start that game early.
Yep.
So if you have young employees, I will say this as a piece of advice, make them do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make them do it.
Impress on them how important it is.
Try to make them do it because you're only helping them out in the long run. And say they stay with you 10 years and then 30 years, they're gone. And then 30 years goes by and then you see them down the road. They're gonna be like, hey, thank you for making me invest for 10 years when I worked for you.
Yeah.
My nest egg is X.
Yep.
And you've really done something good for someone.
Yeah.
You know, we got off track a little bit
on
there,
the topic of investing. So the administration just announced, and I don't quite understand the rules on something. They announced some regulatory thing about cryptocurrency.
I saw that, but I didn't read into it. I hate crypto.
I don't fully understand it, but apparently the previous administration had put some rules into place that made crypto less predictable and less successful. And so this administration changed those rules to where now crypto can be more successful. And that's the basic high level overview, right?
Has crypto shot up?
Well, it took a spike after that and it's still wavy all over the place, right?
Yeah, crypto's a
However,
shit show.
Like 5 hours before it was announced, some guy made some investments into crypto. And then this thing got announced and the guy was smart, saw the spike and pulled out.
Yeah, made some serious money probably.
He made $1 billion in a day.
Well, that means he invested $100 million probably.
That'd
be a 90% return.
It was $150 million investment. Well,
it takes money to fucking make money.
True.
But Mitch Smedley,
can you imagine waking up this morning with $190 million in discretionary income and then going to bed tonight with $1 billion?
You wouldn't know who the fuck I was after that. You're like, Mitch, who? Mitch Smedley, who?
I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, where you at, buddy? You know what, though? That's not true. I mean, I have actually thought about this. My ADHD, I don't think I have ADHD, but my mind runs constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I just don't. I don't bounce around a lot, but there's always a lot of thoughts going on. I think all the time, like, man, if I say I don't even play the lottery, if I won the lottery or I had $1 billion, what would I do and this and that? You know, it's like, man, everyone in Tradewinds that's like been in for a while, I'd be like, hey, dude, here's $1 million. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like my buddy Mitch, like I take care of my buddies. You know,
I'd be
like, dude, you know what we're doing this week? What? I rented 2 villas in Vegas, and we're going there, and I'm giving everyone $100,000, and they have to gamble it.
And
we're gonna have a great fucking, you know, just stuff like that.
If I stumbled across that kind of stuff, I would have a toter home, not a motor home.
I know what you're talking
about.
A
toter home.
Yeah.
I would have a toter home, and I'd still do Tradewinds. I'd absolutely still do Tradewinds.
I probably would too.
And I would literally live in the toter home and drive all over the nation and support all of our Tradewinds members.
Helping them out, taking them to dinners and
everything I could. Like a week here, a week to travel, a week here, a couple days to travel, a week here. And
it'd be fun as shit.
God, it would be fun.
It'd be exhausting, but it'd be a lot of fun.
So, Naomi, I know we just spent about 40 minutes going over benefits for you.
Does she have another question?
She has another question. This one's faster. Okay. This one's much faster.
I'm trying to read your notes upside down. I can't fucking read them. You have horrible handwriting, by the way.
I could be a doctor.
That's the funniest thing you ever said on the show.
So she emailed me today.
Oh, was it a spleen? I have ADHD. I took his appendix out. I don't know what the hell happened.
I'm not a doctor, but I'll take a look.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
I did not want to be a gynecologist.
Ooh, why is that thing so green?
Yeah, why does it smell funny?
That's so gross.
So...
Go ahead.
She emails today and she says, hey, Mitch and Dave, I've listened to several of your podcasts now and I absolutely love them. Already covered this, I'm sorry. I just haven't found it yet. But if you could give your 2 cents on partnerships, ours is a long story, but we already have a business partner and we are probably going to want to part ways with them eventually. Would appreciate your thoughts on the whole partnership thing.
I can't tell. Does that mean they have 3 partners and they're getting rid of one of them, or it's a husband and wife and they have a partner?
Sounds like it's a husband and wife with a partner.
Okay, let's go with that.
So
if we're wrong, sorry, hon.
Here is the super fast version of partnerships.
Let me start.
Okay.
If you don't have a partner that you trust 100% regardless of what happens, it will not work.
Yes.
In my book, that's if Mitch didn't trust me to handle all of our finances and make sure bills are paid, it wouldn't work.
Right.
He'd be calling me every day. And it doesn't matter if my answer was, yeah, dude, I got it taken care of. Because eventually I'd be like, why is he fucking asking me all the time?
Yeah.
And it starts this little bit of tiny animosity.
Yep.
And that shit just fucking grows.
A little erosion of
grows
trust.
And grows until I get mad and I don't want to say anything because we're great friends.
Yep.
But then one day it blows up.
Yep.
And that eats partnerships. You cannot be partners with someone that you do not trust 100%.
Yeah. In addition to that, the only partnerships that work, that this is not a guaranteed way to make partnerships work. Most partnerships don't work.
No.
On a long enough, like people move at different speeds. People develop at different speeds. And so, yes, David and I are partners on this podcast and on Tradewinds. There is a very realistic possibility, and David and I both know this, there is a very realistic possibility that we move at different speeds, and 5 years from now, we're at different places.
Yeah.
And that partnership is going to be strained and stressed, right?
Could be. I don't see it happening, but we're
pretty unified on the vision. But where a lot of people go wrong with partners is Dave, you're a plumber. I'm a plumber. Let's open a plumbing company. Which one of us handles business? Oh, nobody. And so now we're both joined in as partners that we both do the same thing, but then we have this other half of the business
that no one can run.
Because like a plumbing business is half plumbing and half business, right?
Yeah.
And so if we both know the plumbing and nobody knows the business, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Not only are we fucked, but we're going to argue.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to pound my chest about, no, I think we should plumb it this way. And you're going to pound your chest about, no, I think we should plumb it this way. Meanwhile, the bank's knocking on the door wondering where their money is, right?
Yeah.
And so partnerships in a trades-based business that would work are one partner handles the trades side of things and the other partner handles the business half of things.
Yeah.
That's a good way to handle the partnership. But ultimately, partnerships only work, and this isn't a guaranteed way they work, but when partnerships work, there's one unique thing that happens with every working partnership out there. Obviously, they have trust.
Yeah.
But
gotta trust.
Each person brings something opposite to the table. If
yes.
both of you bring the same things to the table, do not partner together. Do not do it.
You can
be the best of friends ever. It doesn't matter. You need to partner with people that are strategic into bringing pieces to the business that you don't yet do. Right. Yeah. And so literally it's so funny. She emailed this today because literally last night in business or at home, Mason, my oldest son, was asking me, he's very inquisitive with business and with marketing and with like the inner workings.
He wants to learn. You can really tell.
Man,
he's trying to suck up some juice most of the
time.
It's
really cool. And I'm not like pounding on my kid, like bragging on my kid or anything, but
I agree with you.
Some people
just that way.
Yeah. Some people's dad runs business and they hang up on like the toys that you can buy with business.
Yeah.
He wants to know the inner workings of things.
Yeah. How are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
Right.
How does this work?
So he got home from school yesterday. We did a dig job that needed some tidying up and it was only like an hour and a half of work, 45 minutes for work for two people. And I'm not going to bring one of my guys off of their profitable jobs to go rake out a yard, pick some form boards off a sidewalk and like pick up some pieces of concrete. Right.
Yeah.
And so
I'm
just going to go over there and do it. Well, by the time I got around to doing it, Mason was coming home from school. And so I texted him and I'm like, hey, I'm on my way home to grab a couple of things. Do you want to go help me clean up that dig job that you saw the last week? And he's like, sure. So he jumps in the truck with me and we get some time to ourselves and we're just chatting and it's all business stuff. And Mason's asking the in-depth questions about like, you know, how much did it cost to put this sidewalk back? And did you factor that in? And did you just have to eat that? And, you know, all of these kinds of things.
Yeah,
and
like real questions.
Yeah. He's just learning the business. Right.
Yeah.
Well, then later on that night, he got to thinking about some of the financial mechanics of, I think Danielle and I were talking about the event. And he was like, how much did that event cost you guys to put on? And how much do you make from that? And that's the first time Mason learned we lose money on the events.
Yeah. Well, that's another topic for another day. But yeah. Go ahead.
Direct revenue, we lose money.
Yes,
we spend
revenue. Yes.
We may spend 20 grand to put the event on, and we may only make 12 grand on the event.
I'll tell you right now. It looks like 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like 10 or 11.
Yeah.
We would have made the final numbers from the hotel yet.
Yeah. So. We would have made about 8,000 in ticket sales and about 2,000 from vendor sponsorships. So it's about 10. And then we probably spent about 20 on the event. All right. So you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show. 18 to 20, if I had to guess.
It looks like tickets were about 6. Vendors were 2, and it looks like about 18. So yeah, right at 10.
Okay.
Right about 10.
And so Mason was asking more questions about that. And I mentioned to Mason, I said, I don't know. I'll have to get exact numbers from Dave because Dave handles all the money for Tradewinds. And Danielle pipes up and she was like, oh, so Dave handles the money from Tradewinds and I handle the money from Smedley Plumbing. She goes, it must be nice to go through life not having to handle money.
That's a good way to get your mouth slapped.
And I said, we don't want me handling money.
That's true. That's 100% true.
Don't get me wrong. I'm smart with money.
Oh, no, you're fine.
But yeah. I give in to my desires, right?
Yeah.
And so
that's why Mitch gets a paycheck.
Well, right.
That's why Mitch gets a paycheck.
Dave handles the money in Tradewinds. My wife handles the money in the plumbing company.
Yeah.
My wife handles the money in our personal household.
Yeah. Jean does ours at home.
I don't handle money,
yeah.
Right? And that's not to say that I'm bad with money. Yeah. It's just my assets are what I bring to the table.
Yeah.
I could figure out the money thing, and I wouldn't be foolish with it.
No, but it sucks up bandwidth. And let's be honest.
My assets are creating the money.
Yeah, we only have so much bandwidth.
Right.
If you had to do both, that pulls away half of your bandwidth that you deal with sales.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that. I want Mitch to be free to, hey, go, dude, do your thing.
And
let's
dog. David's rule, like R and David's rule with Tradewinds is he handles all the back end stuff.
Yeah.
And he handles all the money. And I handle all the front end stuff and I handle all the sales. So promotional is me. Sales is me. Marketing is me. Acquiring speakers is me.
Yep.
But Dave does
head coach
so much.
I'll give you head coach too.
Maybe
your lead coach. No, 100%.
Dave does so much more, right? Like
time.
Building.
I would say time wise, yes, but not more. Like
maybe.
You know what I mean?
But like when you call, like if you were considering joining Trade, it's funny because we had two people tell us this on the event this weekend. If you were to consider joining Tradewinds, and you emailed us, if you went to winninginthetrades.com and you found our website. And you submitted a contact form saying you wanted to join. David and I both get those emails. Dave knows, he ignores it because he knows I got it. And I'm going to call you. I'm going to text you from your form.
Yeah.
And that text is going to come from my personal phone number. And I'm going to say, hey, I saw your contact form. Do you have time tomorrow to chat about Tradewinds? And we'll figure out a time. And then I call them. And this happens a lot. They'll be like, this is actually Mitch. This isn't like Mitch's team. And it's like, no, like that's my,
that's Mitch's thing.
That's my strong suit. That's my area where, right. And I don't know if I ever want to pawn that off. Like that's a weird thing to pawn off because
you love that part.
Well, and because I'm making promises about what Tradewinds can offer, but then I'm also on the backside, not the backside, but the other side of things where I'm helping deliver on those promises.
Yeah, you're delivering what you said is going to happen.
And the challenge when you have a sales and an install split, somebody's selling and then somebody else is installing, is things get lost in translation and you're going to lose that.
I thought they were going to run the the flue this way, or I thought that the plumbing was going to be routed this way and you guys were going to cut the concrete, or you know, whatever.
Or in Tradewinds, if we have a sales guy that's paid on commission for how many memberships he sells,
making a lot of promises,
he's going to make a lot of promises that we may not be able to cash on the back end, right?
Yeah.
And so ultimately with business partnerships, you need to make sure that both people in the partnership bring completely different things to the business.
It's a lot like relationships. You know, the old cliche saying of opposites attract. That is a real thing.
Yeah.
One person is filling the holes in the other person to make the thing work. Christian Weeks said this to me yesterday when I was on the phone with him. And you and I have talked about this a lot. If Mitch just ran Tradewinds, it wouldn't work. And then he said, if you just ran Tradewinds, it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
And I was like, I said, I can't do this without Mitch.
Yeah.
I said, there's no way.
No way.
I said, and he can't do it without me.
Nope.
It's like the two of us running it together is what makes it work.
Yeah.
Partnerships in business, HVAC, electrical, contracting, whatever it is, if you guys aren't filling the gaps that the other person has and you make one more super human badass motherfucker together, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
The guys that...
It's a one-legged superhuman.
We see it all the time where it's like two guys are HVAC buddies and they're both install guys and they work together every day and they love each other and they're great and they've known each other 10 years and they're like, let's do it. And then they go out and do it and they're lost as fuck in 2 months and they're like, what the fuck happened?
Well, and inevitably...
It's like, shit.
Inevitably what happens is you got two guys that are like, they know the trade, but they don't know business. And one of those guys will start branching out of their comfort zone to figure out the business thing. But because they're new in it, the other guy doesn't trust them that they're knowing what they're doing. And so they start arguing about business things that neither one of them really know the answer.
Yeah.
And so it just creates this friction.
Yeah. And you know, another thing, just as far as friction goes, like when that thing happens, one of them will always think the other one isn't pulling their weight.
Yes.
Or not doing as much.
Yeah.
You're not working as much as me.
Yeah.
You're not doing as much as me. It is very hard, and I don't want to like diss on young guys because we have young guys in Tradewinds that are bad motherfuckers.
God, yeah, we do.
God, they're fucking awesome. I'm inspired by them constantly.
Yes.
But they, when you're in business and they're both young guys, sometimes they're not mature enough and haven't seen enough of what really happens with other businesses to make a partnership work.
Yeah.
Most of the partnerships I see work, they're older when they get into business together.
Yeah.
Because they've both either been burned or they've been through a lot and they've seen it all and they know what it's going to take and both of them can come together to do it.
Yeah.
Even if they are both out of, you know, came out of an installer role 10 years ago or whatever.
Right.
Those are the ones I see work.
Yeah.
And I don't want to diss young guys because they're energetic. They're go-getters. They're the ones that are changing the industries. They just are.
Yep.
You know, but that part of it.
Yeah.
Guys, maybe just try to roll on your own and let's see what happens. Let's not bring that guy in yet.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
And it's just the reality of the situation. It's just what we see constantly.
Yeah. The third type of partnership that you may come, and this we'll handle this super quick, and then we're going to close the show out. The third type of partner.
We're on an hour and a half. Damn it, Mitch.
Third type of partner may come across is a silent partner that is just money. And that's not really a partner. That's an investor. Okay. Technically they are a partner because they own part of the company when they invest.
And that's different.
But that person is putting in money with the expectation of a return on their investment. They have no say in the business. They have no nothing. They are literally just an investor. So that is a whole different issue in that you're not going to get that in your small business stuff. You may get a silent investor when you're trying to grow from 5 to 10 million. You may get somebody that's like I want to grow from 5 to 10 million, but I need ad money to do it.
Yeah, and I need $1 million worth of
influx. If you give me $250,000 in ad money, I'll give you a certain stake of the business. And I promise to turn your $250,000 into $350,000.
Yeah.
Or something like that, right?
You know, I will say just on that topic, like, we'll see once in a while a family member, a dad or whatever. Okay, I'm going to put this money in and we're going to do the deal. And they just want a handshake and a verbal agreement. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Get it in writing.
Yep.
And get it ironclad.
Yeah.
The business profit per percentage after this, he gets 1%.
Yeah.
Don't do a handshake deal, because a handshake deal leads to arguments.
Yep.
And then that leads to separation, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a family. I would.
Family makes it even more difficult.
I will never get in business with any of my family members. Yeah. I won't because
you respect them too much to do it.
Well, and I'm an asshole, and I am a very fair and by the numbers person.
Yeah.
And if the money didn't come through, you ain't getting it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We tanked this month. You're not getting shit. Well, yep. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that ruins relationships.
Yep.
So if for some reason you do that, make sure you go to an attorney. Make sure that shit is fucking ironclad and set in stone. And when X, Y, and Z happens, you get paid.
Yep.
And that's it. If X, Y, and Z doesn't happen,
you don't get paid yet.
No profit percentage this month.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I mean, we could talk about that for fucking 3 hours. But,
yep.
You know, you've got to make sure that shit's in writing. And just from what I've seen, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But.
Yep.
Anyways.
So hopefully, Naomi, that covers both of your questions. And hopefully that clears up a lot of things for a lot of our other listeners.
You know what, Naomi? Why don't you join Tradewinds, honey?
Yeah. You should.
Or at least.
Totally,
you know,
should.
What? You don't have to join Tradewinds, but maybe at least have a call with Mitch.
Yeah. At least jump on a call and chat.
Yeah. And
so
see if it's worth it.
Wrap
us up, buddy.
I will make sure to let you know that we're having these questions on the show, especially since you sent one of these today. So
today.
I got it in.
Your wife put that in on Facebook today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was T-U-H-D-A-Y.
Today.
I was like, why is she, what is, I,
that's funny.
Whatever. Man.
So again, if you guys have questions that you want us to answer on the show, you can email them three different ways. AskMitch@MitchSmedley.com. David@TradeWindsConsulting.com, Mitch@TradeWindsConsulting.com, and that is Trade Winds, not blowing winds, not wind with the D.
W-I-N-S,
Trade Winds, like winning in the trades. If your questions are good enough, we will ask them on the show. If they're kind of repetitive or from a recent show, we'll just reply to your question in email form and give you the best answer we can. So, otherwise, if this show brought you value, if it made you think about things in a different way, please do us a favor and share this show with somebody who you think needs it. If you have a friend that's looking for benefits, send them a link to the show. Literally just hit the share button on while you're listening right now and be like, "Hey Frank, these guys are talking about that problem you've got." Like, just send it to them.
Yeah.
So that's how this show grows, and we don't get paid for this show. We do get paid for Tradewinds, but we don't get paid for this show. So the least you can do is share the show. We're giving all this value for free.
Boom.
The least you can do is throw us a share.
Help
so
us out.
Throw us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on.
If you're
too.
On YouTube, subscribe.
Yeah.
Damn it, help us out. We're trying to
subscribe and hit that notification bell on YouTube. And we're trying to get to a monetized level on YouTube.
3 years is still nothing.
Not that we care about the money on YouTube.
It helps us, though.
But the monetization helps in other areas. It unlocks some features of YouTube for us that we can do some other cool shit for. So until next week, guys, we will catch up with you later. See ya.